bless you.
It's good to be here. CJ, I want to encourage you. I have a son. He went to Marines. He served in the Marines. And just keep your eyes on the Lord. He just take care of you. My son always told me how many times the Lord just protected him. He went to Afghanistan, 2 times to Iraq, but he's still with us. We praise the Lord for that. Keep your faith in the Lord and up. The Lord just keep you saved. Well, it's good to be here. As Pastor says, 2004, when we came here to this church, Pastor Leslie was the one, the pastor at that time, and I never met the pastor before, so it's good to be here. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you know where Cape Verde is located? Can you raise your hand? 1, 2. Wow. Let me say this. In the beginning, I was not going to Cape Verde. The Lord called me to go to Angola. When I came here, I brought and I present the work to go to Angola. But the Lord closed the door to Angola. And he's opened the doors and put me in Cape Verde. Well, the day my pastor came to visit me, he's asked me, Brother Carvalho, how long you think you're going to stay here? I say, okay, I do not know. The Lord brought me here, he's going to take me out. It's simple. I don't ask him to go right there to Cape Verde. He took me to Cape Verde. He's the one who has to take me out else. So this is why I'm in Cape Verde right now. Okay, Cape Verde is located on Africa, okay? If you look, this is the map of Africa. This is south, this is west. It's just located about 500 miles from the west. It's a Tet Island. They call Cape, but it is not a Cape. Is a Tet Island. Also, they say Verde, the word Verde in English, in Portuguese, means green in English. It's not a green, it's a brown. Well, I praise the Lord for what the Lord has done in our life, and especially for my wife. She just opened her heart to serve the Lord and do whatever the Lord wants us to do. And she decided to follow me wherever I'm going, long I follow the Lord. And I praise the Lord. She is with me all the time, supporting me, and give me her love, and I give my love to her. So my wife, she is here. Please, sweetie, can you stand up? Okay, we have we in Cape Verde. I do not drive for 7 years. And before I came, we just took a cab, and she just told the cab driver, my husband do not drive for 7 years. When I came to United States, I'm not going to ride with him in the beginning. And I thought she was playing. So we just arrived on Saturday night. We came to our daughter's house. And my daughter was not there. I saw the key, the car. And in the morning, just I wake up and told my wife, okay, the car's right there. The key's right here. I pick up the key. Let's go. She said, you go. So I get in the car. I drove around a little bit. And I came back and say, okay, now I'll be back. She said, now I'm going. Now I know you're safe. Well, I could not believe she did that with me, but she did. Okay, what are you going to watch in the presentation is 7 years of work. That's mean. Prepare yourself to all to midnight. Now, just I'm kidding. We just divide 7 years in 7 minutes, okay? 1 year, 1 minute. Okay, we're going to watch a presentation this moment.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Hello, I would like to introduce you to the DiCarvalho family, missionaries to Cape Verde. The Lord has called them to the country of Cape Verde, to the island of São Vicente, to be his witness and preach the word. They have been serving in Cape Verde for 7 years. During this time, the Lord added to their home two boys, Anderson and Junior. The DiCarvalhos are training them in the word and work of the Lord. São Vicente is a beautiful island, although there is not much green vegetation. Not only is it destitute of greenery, their spiritual and moral compass is destitute of the gospel. São Vicente is known as the worldliest island in the entire country. It has 9 islands, with only 2 independent Baptist churches, one in Praia, which is the capital, and their church in Mindelo, São Vicente. The DiCarvalhos arrived in Mindelo on February 19, 2006. On April 19th, they started the Templo Batista Independente in Mindelo in their home. The first 3 Sundays, they did not have anyone in their services, but on Sunday morning, April 25th, they had their first visitors, a little boy and his grandmother. In the evening service, they were blessed with 5 more visitors. After 9 months of door-to-door visitation, giving out tracts, New Testaments, and other literatures, they began to reap what they had sown. Many were saved, and they had their first baptisms. In June of 2007, Dr. Bud Calvert from Fairfax Baptist Temple went to support them as they celebrated and established the church. Templo Batista Independente in Mindelo was organized on June 27, 2007, with 19 people signing the Charter Member Book. In November of 2007, Pastor Booth and his wife from Calvary Baptist Church in Charlotte, Michigan, went to visit and he preached in their first revival meetings. For almost 5 years, they held church services in their home until the Lord opened the doors to a building in Monte Susegu. In the new building, the Lord blessed them with 4 new families and 18 baptisms. In November of 2010, they were privileged to have Pastor Troy Calvert and John Futo from the Fairfax Baptist Temple visit. They helped in various ministries. The Lord has truly blessed the work in Cape Verde. In the 7 years of ministry in São Vicente, they have seen more than 200 people come to know Christ as their personal Savior and have baptized 39 people. Please pray for those that still have decisions to make. They also started a children's Bible club in a new neighborhood, Ribeirinha. Every Saturday afternoon, they go to Ribeirinha and work with children, but many adults come and listen to the Bible stories as well. The Lord has provided a piece of land that is 6,700 square foot in a neighborhood called Ribeira de Craquinha. This land is paid for and has been registered with City Hall. They are now praying for funds to build a church on this land. I would ask that you pray for the DiCarvalhos, specifically for, number one, reaching new neighborhoods for Christ, number two, training nationals to take leadership roles in the ministry. The Silva family is preparing to take over the ministry at Templo Batista Independente in Mindelo. Number three, to start a new work in Santantau, which is the next island over, about 1 hour ferry boat from São Vicente. Number four, the possibility to start a new work in another island, São Nicolau, about 40 minutes by airplane. Please pray for finances for these endeavors. Santantau is a mountainous island with many difficult places to reach, especially the villages in between the mountains that can only be reached by walking or riding on donkeys. They have a big task to do. Would you consider praying with them, helping financially, or is God speaking to your heart about serving alongside them in Cape Verde?
Mother or father, to wipe away the tears she cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart.
A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold.
Earthly provisions will ease their suffering.
On the mission field, Lord, I'll give the gospel to these suffering ones.
for another one dies.
Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost.
Lord, please bury my heart. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury
John 1:1. In the
I like the passage in the Bible in 1 Samuel talking about David. He was come back home from the war. The Amalekite just came, took the whole city captivity with them. And David get his men, went out to get back everybody. In a way, some men was tired. And when they was tired, they could not go to the war. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, we see exactly what, when they came back from the war, what David says to the whole group that went to the war. Verse 24 says this, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the barrel, so shall his part be that teareth by the staff. They shall part alike." I like this passage because it shows us some men had to stay behind by the staff while other men went to the barrel to fight. I like this compared with the church and the missionary. We need a church that stay behind by the staff while the missionary go to the barrel, to the front. Just remember, we need a church just keep behind praying and ask the Lord for the blessing to us. And especially someday, just when you just come in your mind, the missionary, just write then a little note. "Today, I pray for you." That gave a lot of strength for the missionary while he was stay behind. Just remember the day we get in heaven, what the missionary do in the field will be equal. It's not because the missionary did, it's because you did ours. This is good to remember this because we work together. This church and us. 3 years ago, I was knocking doors uphill, and I knocked a door, an old lady, 84 years old, she answered the door. After 2 hours, talked to her about the plan of salvation, she's accepted the Lord as a Savior. She started coming to church every Sunday. And because was uphill, she 84 years old, I told Miss Maria, I am going to send you a cab drive to take you to church. She told me, "Pastor," this is the way she's called me, "every rock rolled downhill, no uphill." So what she's mean with that is she, to come down to the church, she could walk. But to go back, she needed help. And the one thing, every Sunday, she bring her tithes, 2 eggs, what she's bringing. Last year, we was home, and the telephone just rang. I answered, was a teenager for our church. She says, Pastor, you have to come to church. I say, why? She says, Miss Maria died. We, my wife and I, we want to visit her. When we get the door, the house, the police was at the door, waiting for the doctor to come to examine the body. Everything is possible. She's died with a heart attack. Nobody says anything. But one thing is good to remember is this. If you, this church, don't stay behind by the staff, help us, supporting us, pray for us, and you never go to Cape Verde and we never knock that door, Miss Maria today is dying, go to hell. But praise the Lord, you guys was here, and I went. Today she is in heaven. 87 years old. I told everybody, if I went to Cape Verde just to win that soul for the Lord, was worth it. But the Lord gave us not just that soul, gave us many others. And we praise the Lord. Just remember us in your prayers. Stay by the staff. Pray for us. Lift us before the Lord. And with the day we get in heaven, everything will be apart. You go. Well, I ask West Cape Verde, I want just to give you some information about Cape Verde. The population in Cape Verde is about 500,000. On the prayer card, you're going to see right there. It says right there is 422, but that was 2007, okay? That's 2007. Today is 500,000. And also the population in the city where I am, São Vicente, is on the card is 74. This card was 2007. Today is 120,000. The growth is greater on that place. So the population is big, is growing faster. The language is a Portuguese and the Creole. Yeah, I don't have a problem because my first language is a Portuguese. I can communicate with them very well. Education is a poor education in that country. About 65% of the people read bad. It's not a good reading. So also the kids wake up after the seventh grade, they drop because they do not have a preparation to go to the 8th all the way to 12th. The economy is tourist area and the fish. If you like to fish, come to Cape Verde. Especially if you like to fish, man, come and help us. The government is a democratic government. It's a very stable country. It's the most stable country in Africa. The America is welcome. I can put my flag outside, especially on the 4th of July. The independence in Cape Verde is the 5th, July 5th, and the United States is the 4th. We just commemorate, make one service for both. The family on that country is not a value of family. When you look about the family, it's not much because usually the women, they don't have a children, they are not considered women. They have to have a children. And even this way, they go and have a child with 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5, 6 men, different men. So the value of a family in that country is zero. So please pray for that, because it's a lot to do, a lot to talk to about the Lord for those people, especially for bring a little to the church, because the family don't have responsibility, especially the parents don't have responsibility for the children. They grew up with the grandmother. So the children grow up with no responsibility else. Please pray for this. Is something just we need your prayers. For the church, kids, we have a lot of kids come to the church, and they come on Sunday morning, and we just give them a little cup of milk with some donut. And I know once they come to church, because that's probably is the only thing they're going to eat that day. Sometimes the family, they just cook about 3 o'clock in the afternoon what they have to cook, because this way the kids don't go to bed at night completely hungry. And some kids go to school on the next day with empty stomach. It's very hard to the kids just learn when they do not have anything, you know, to keep their alive, especially when the stomach grab. They cannot think straight. So we have some kids come on Saturday for a visitation. We say in a presentation, they come to go a visitation with us because they know at the end, always we buy something for them to eat. And at the same time, they hear about the Lord and they help us out. So what are we doing? We just take care of those kids and serve our Lord in that country. But now we are putting together some stuff to take to Cape Verde, and we are praying for the shipment for that part we are taking. Please pray with us for this. So it's different islands we had. If you look at my prayer card, you're going to see 10 islands. 10 islands. It's not a cape. As I told you before, it's not a cape. Just remember, it's a big work to do. I have a plan. My plan when I come back is to build a church. We bought the land. It was a blessing for the Lord. Usually a land costs a lot of money, but that came for us for $2,000 with everything, registration, everything. Was a blessing from the Lord. And also, when we come back, we want to start a new church in another island. That's about 40 minutes ferry boat, and another island next to it. Please pray for our sons. Samuel is the youngest son we have. He's right now is in Cape Verde. He's taking care of a church right there. And please pray for the Lord. Just speak to his heart so he don't come back. He stays work with us. He just wanted to come back on September. But this is a prayer. He's a 26 years old boy. And he's doing wonderful work right there. And just pray for him. The Lord just keep him safe and do the marvelous work he's doing right there now. All right. This is what is exactly what Cape Verde is. If you later want to have any question, I'll be free to answer any question you want me outside. Okay? I believe you, all of you, like to have a lemon. How many of you just ate a lemon? How you eat a lemon? What kind of face you make for eat a lemon? You just eat happy, or you do that face? What face you do for lemon? Just, I want you to think about this else. Think about if you want to eat a lemon, and prove to someone that lemon is sweet and make that person desire your lemon. What are you going to do? This lamb is good. It's good. It's sweet. It's very sweet. I guarantee if you eat, it's sweet. Is this way you're going to prove? No, I guarantee if you're going to prove someone to eat a lamb and make that person desire your lamb, what are you going to do? You're going to pick out a piece, eh? That's sweet. This is so sweet, this lemon. And you make that person, wow, I want to taste. I want to taste. This is something we have to think about also in our Christian life. How you live a life? As a lemon? Oh, Jesus Christ is the sweetest things I ever known. Jesus, I know he was the sweet. Is this way you're going to live a life? Prove to someone? Or are you going to prove with happiness? Jesus is the sweetest thing I ever know. That's a matter of a kind life. What does a matter of difficulty you have in your life? Does a matter of the hurt you have? You just say, Jesus, oh Jesus. And everybody going to look at you and say, wow, I want this Jesus. I want Jesus. It's not like a lemon. You know, to you live a life, to prove someone that Jesus is the sweetest thing you ever know, have to have a commitment. Have to have a commitment. Have to have a commitment with Jesus Christ and with the person you're going to prove. Have to have. Please open your Bible on the book of Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you don't mind to stand up with me, please. When I am before the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 8 says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and the peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, and it as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to be in this church. We ask, Lord, to speak to our heart. Don't allow me, Lord, to speak for myself, but bring, Lord, the word you have to our heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. You may say it. Thank you. It's interesting that we are always talking about that the Christian cannot live two lives. One with the world and another with Christ. Also, we're talking about that we cannot serve two lords. We are always talking about we cannot put together the light and the dark. Also, we can say we cannot walk 1 foot inside the water and on the dry land. All things we can see, two things don't mix together, salt and sugar. You know, in Cape Verde, one day I have a Brazilian man. One day he's brought to my wife a little plastic stuff like this with some sugar. He's told my wife, okay, take this sugar home. I know you bake a cake every Sunday for bring the church, and I know you can use the sugar with salt to make a taste. I guarantee you can make good cake for this. She just took that sugar home, and she don't taste, just make a nice cake, beautiful cake, and brought to the church on Sunday. Man, I tell you one thing, was the worst cake I have ate in my life. Salt and sugar. The kids that tried to eat, they couldn't. And I know my wife make a good cake. I married her for 33 years. I know she's a good cook, but that cake, man, I tell you, it was worse. So don't mix together. Now, we have to look this way. We have to see what exactly the Apostle Paul says here. On the verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray always for you. Verse 7, 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Right there on the verse 4, we have to see two commitments. First one with Christ, the second with the saints. Now, who is the saint? Who is the saint? Who are? We are. The Bible says we are the saints. Now, let me ask you, why you are the saints today? Because you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right? Now, before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, who you were? Lost and going to hell. Well, praise the Lord that somebody else came to you one day and told about the love of Jesus Christ. The moment the person told you about Jesus Christ, you accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, and at that moment you become saint. That moment you become saints. That means the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save our souls. And we have to be loyalty to Christ over all. Loyalty to Christ. When we are loyalty to Christ, we're going to our neighbor's house, we're going to our friend's house, we're going to everywhere, and we're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because he saved my soul, he saved your soul. Because we are loyalty to Christ, immediately we have to be loyal to our fellow. So this the Bible tells us, and the Apostle Paul brings us clear to us, we have to be loyal to Christ first. A commitment with Christ is to love him and serve him and go and do his will. What's his will? Is go and tell to other people about the Lord. If you're going to Mark 16, verse 15, it says, go ye all the world and do what? Be quiet? No, he says, go and preach the gospel. This is the order he's given to us. That means we have an order to accomplish and to do. This is to do God's will in our life and to share his love. If he loves me, yes. Now, I love him. If you say I love him, I have to do something for him. Christ, Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to save the souls. I may preach something different, this church? I don't think so. Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary to save souls. This is why this church supported me for 9 years to go to Cape Verde and tell about Jesus Christ to those souls that's going to hell to they repent themselves and turn to Christ and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. This is the love Jesus Christ gave to us, and at the same time, we have to love the lost souls. Now, how do people go to hear about Jesus Christ? You know, I open right there, Romans 10. I love this passage. If you want to know more about this passage, what it means to me, come back later and talk to me. The verse 12 to 14 says this. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How? Just remember one thing. When we accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, we have a commitment with the Lord and with those people. How are they going to listen? How are they going to hear about the Lord? How? This is the Apostle Paul make a question. How? If you don't go and tell them. How are your friends going to hear about the Lord? I guarantee everyone here in this church, I have a friend the pastor do not know. Even so, Pastor Leslie. I guarantee you have a friend they do not know. Now, how are they, your friends, going to hear about the Lord if they don't go to preach it for them? Thus come a responsibility for me and for you, don't you? Think about this. We have a responsibility with our friends. We have a responsibility with our relatives. We have a responsibility with everybody that's around us. That's the Lord gave us a responsibility. Because if they one day die, you know where they're going if they don't accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. Doesn't matter. It can be your friend, can be your relative. If they never accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, don't make it. They don't make it. This comes our responsibility with the Lord and with our people. Now, I love when the Jesus Christ just come to us and say something. Look, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and say the same thing I'm going to read with you. Please open your Bible in Matthew 22nd. So verse 34. Mark 26, verse 34 says this. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asking him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, now, look verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commitments hang out the law and the prophets. Just remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is taking 10 commitments and making two. And these two he's put together. Love God and love your neighbors. Love God and love the person is around you. Doesn't matter if your enemy, who it is, I don't care. The Lord says you have to love them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is our responsibility. Because we cannot separate both. Two commitments. We cannot separate. But we have to do. Because the Lord loves us. You know, when you come back to verse 30, Romans 10. Come back right there, Romans 10. I love the verse 15. The verse 15 says this. And how shall they preach except they be sent. As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See what the Lord says in his word. How beautiful is the feet those that go and preach the gospel of peace. I don't care how ugly is your feet. I don't care about my feet. I tell one thing, when I take my shoe out, when you look at my feet, it's ugly. My fingers just start getting like this. The callus just go on. The bones on side just keep growing. Look like, you know, the feet come out right there. It's ugly. Tell the truth. If you look at my feet and say, Brother Cavalli, you have the most ugly feet I have in the whole world. But what the Bible says? How beautiful is the feet. How beautiful is the feet. How beautiful is the feet that person go up a hill as we do. You see it right there? How beautiful is the feet that person just working the offs. Stand up. Go to the next desk. Tell about Jesus Christ. How beautiful is the feet that person that go to the next house. Tell about the Lord. How beautiful is the feet of those people just go away and knock on doors. How beautiful. This is the commitment the Lord wants us to do. And the day you get there, the Lord will see your feet. Many careless because you walk a lot. The Lord say, how beautiful, my son, my daughter, is your feet. How beautiful. We have two commitments. Christ and the lost soul. You are willing to do? Are willing to accept this commitment? You know, sometimes we say, oh, Brother Cavalli, I do not have a time. Doesn't matter, if you don't have a time, you know, the world is so fast today, but you know what thing you have? We have a message we can give. Every church I go, they have a trust. And this is my message, when you can come and give the person, that can make a difference. Make a difference. Maybe you go to the your bank. You cannot talk to the people right there. Give a trust. Maybe you go to supermarket. You cannot talk to the cashier right there because she's work or his work. Give a trust. You are leaving a message. This message can make a lot of difference. I heard a story. A preacher, maybe you heard this, was every afternoon he just get his young teenage and his nephew, and he says, you go out and knock some doors, invite people to come next Sunday to church. One day was raining. After the service, they came back home. The boy just keep preparing himself. Then later on, he came to his uncle and said, Uncle, I'm ready to go, Uncle. And his uncle says, what are you going to do, son? Say, Uncle, I'm ready to go and knock some doors and give the trust for people. Invite him for next Sunday, Uncle. His uncle just says, son, is it raining? Is it cold day? It's better we stay home. And the boy just asked, Uncle, people don't die on cold day, go to hell. He say, really, it's true? Please, Uncle, let me go, Uncle, let me go. And the boy went and he says, okay, son, go, but don't take too long, and come back. And the boy go, and after a little while, he's just leaving and give it trots. Later on, he came back, was at the corner of a two street. He looked one side, another side. He don't see nobody. He just have one trot in his hand. He was cold, trembling. He looked the other side, and he saw a house walk to the house, come to the steps, and knock the door. Nobody answers. Ring the bell. Nobody answers. Knock the door. Nobody answers. Ring the bell. Nobody answers. Knock the door. Nobody answers. Ring the bell. Later on, the door just opened slowly. Behind the door was a lady, and just he hand to her, just tried to say, "This is the message of love Jesus Christ sent to you." And that he's given to her and turned to live. And she said, "Boy, stop." He stopped. She said to him, "God bless you." He went back home. Next Sunday, the service started. And the pastor just gave an opportunity to someone to give a testimony. On the back pew, this lady stand up. And she says, "I live in this city, a couple blocks from here. My husband and I, we are alone. My husband passed away 3 years ago. I'm alone. And last Sunday, I decided to finish up my loneliness, take my life away. I grabbed a chair, rope, I went to the ark, I tied the rope, I put it in my neck. I stand on the chair. When I was ready to kick the chair out, the door knocked. I thought with me, wait a little bit, this person go away. The bell rang. Say, I'm going to wait. Later on, this person say, okay, I'm going to see what's going on. She just came down. Was this boy. Wonderful angel of the Lord, and brought me a message of love. I read that message. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I came to this church because I saw the address of the church to know my angel that brought the message of the Lord. That preacher just came down, saw his boy sit down, and embraced his boy. And give a big hug. You do not know what this can do. Just remember, we have a commitment for everybody. Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for the day you gave to us. Thanks, Lord, for your love. Thanks, Lord, for dying the cross of Calvary for our sins. And save, Lord, us. We ask, Lord, to bless us. And strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. She's going to begin to play through softly here, something of her own choosing, and be fine. Sitting there thinking about feeling such a kindred spirit with this dear man. How honored we are. Be associated with God's servants like this couple. God has used him tonight. If he's not used him in your life, he's used him in mine. The whole message is when you committed yourself to Christ, he committed you to others. We have a great work to do. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you tonight about just fulfilling your commitment. We all need to do a better job at this. No question about that. No question about it. I need to tell more people about the Lord. And I would dare say, if you'd be honest, that you'd have to say the same thing. We need to take this seriously. Folks are dying without Christ. They need Jesus. May the Lord help us with this. I'm going to pray as soon as I get done. The invitation is open. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come to this altar. Ask God to help you. Father, bless it, use it, I pray. May the will of God be done. Help us all to fulfill our commitments. Help this church to be a mighty army going forth, spreading the gospel message. Bless our dear brother and his dear wife for being with us. Keep your hand upon them. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She plays through. If God is speaking to your heart, right now is your time. Would you come? Ask God to help you. We won't tarry long here, but if God is speaking to you, I want you to come. Ask God to help you. Feel the same way about that I do. We love missionaries. God bless them. And I appreciate how this dear man of God came to this pulpit. He's on the front lines of the battlefield. And he's trying to encourage us with our part. I like that. And, I sense a true spirit of humility with him. Bible humility. God's burdening my heart about that as well. I want more of that spirit. May God give it to us. I'm going to ask them if they wouldn't mind, Brother Mr. De Carvalho, if you wouldn't mind to make your way out to your display. I know our folks will want to greet you and share a few words of encouragement to you. God bless you. You can just take that back with you there. We'll get it on your table. Let me encourage you, go by, shake their hand, and tell them you appreciate what they're doing. Hey, kindred spirits, you know? Amen? I understand, I know. Might have had a few words maybe you didn't understand there, or so on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His spirit came shining through. Did you see it? I saw it. That dear man of God loves God, friends. The Lord's using him. And he's on our missionary team. Aren't you glad the missionary money is going to somebody like that right there? It is. And I appreciate him. I want you to go by and let him know you appreciate him tonight. Okay? Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. God bless you for coming. Have a good 4th of July tomorrow and behave yourselves, okay? We'll see you on this coming weekend. Father, we love you. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being here. God bless you.